Alright.
We're sitting here with Jake and Neil from Envy. Do a little tech talk, a little wheel talk, and just kind of overall get their thoughts on the upcoming BWR since it's coming in just a couple few weeks. Neil obviously was on the show a little earlier, so now we're going to bring Jake in and dive into some Envy. So, Jake, let's hear it. What's going on?
I didn't realize the BWR so soon. Neil tells me I'm participating in BWR this year. It's been a few years.
Oh, this is breaking news. I didn't even know. I thought you were just a sponsor, but you're a rider.
Yeah, I ride bikes sometimes.
Okay.
Neil makes me ride bikes.
I saw you ride a Kanza go by me as, so you look like a bike rider there.
Well, and you didn't at that moment when I saw you because you were walking, I think.
Well, it's amazing that you could actually see, John. I've heard different, well, but.
It took me about 2 years to recover, and here we are.
I'm doing BWR again. I've taken a couple years off of the BWR because it was so traumatizing the first time I did it. It's not fair for all of us living in the snow state that where we have to show up and do hard rides in May when there's like still snow on the ground.
Yeah, but you've been altitude training, so that totally just.
All those red blood cells.
That's what they
It's the only thing that gets me through those 7 to 12 hours of riding.
Or, could be 14 at some point.
Well, or more. I was talking just about BWR potentially taking me 12 hours.
I think it would take me at least 12 hours these days if I was to try that again.
But I'm guessing, if we can get the equipment dialed, they'll be able to cut that down to like 11 hours, 45 minutes.
Okay, so speaking of equipment. So, you just kind of put it out there. Like, you will go from 12 hours to 11:45 with the right equipment. Let's talk about Envy. Okay. Sponsor plug.
Yes. Shameless
plug. But you guys did just have a new wheel come out.
We did. Yeah, we just launched, last week we launched the second installation of the AR series of wheels. So, the SES AR, we launched the 4.5 AR. Consequently, that was the first BWR I did in 2016. We were excited to go and test out that new wheel. It was the 4.5 AR at BWR because it was really that perfect event for that wheel.
So does the AR stand for anything?
All road.
There we go.
Yeah. And now it's kind of just road. Now it's just kind of road. But, I mean, we're still riding all roads. It's just the bikes are kind of evolved since then.
So you would still, the AR, that would fit in, like, the gravel segment?
It does to the point where it crosses over into, it's... We would define it as like very groomed gravel roads is kind of where we would optimize that, or where we say that wheel's like optimized. Because really, AR, it's an SES wheel, which means it has a full aero development. And those wheels are designed and optimized around a 28mm tire. So without getting too like over the top technical,
I kind of want to hear you get technical because I'm curious how a wheel is more for an all-road gravel terrain than a regular road. I get it for tires, you need a little tread, wider, but how does the wheel actually become better?
Itself.
Yeah.
So the first step, we're able to achieve aerodynamic efficiencies because the wheel we've made it wider. We've made the curvature of the sidewall of the rim itself integrate into a 28mm tire seamlessly. The rims are hookless in design, so it's a little bit of a technology crossover from the mountain bike side of things, and we're able to do that because the width and the volume allows for lower pressures, and it allows more room, because the rim's so wide, it allows more room for working with the tire to get it installed and in a user-friendly manner. The performance when we're talking about all roads is really a result of having the volume. So when I talk about volume, I'm talking about the air volume inside the tire and the rim itself. So more volume means you can reduce rolling resistance, which is good. The rougher the surface, the more volume helps you. And then lowering your tire pressure can aid in comfort. And so, in the first year I did BWR, I think the guy won was on a 25mm tire, which... it was a Josh Berry.
He was on his training bike, huh?
Yeah.
Aero road bike.
He got it done, right? And like, he got it done, but
probably wasn't that enjoyable of a ride.
Funnest thing he's ever done.
Well, I think he went the next year and he got multiple flats and broken wheels, and he was out within an hour, so I don't think that was fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, AR, SCS AR, I mean, it's sort of, and we've talked about this a little bit in some content pieces we've written, but there's kind of two camps, you know. There's, if you're going to an event like BWR, if you're the guy who really wants to win, or wants, and winning is, you know, a little bit subjective. Like, if you're going for pure efficiency and you're trying to stay with the fast group or be in the lead of, like, whatever group it is you're racing in, is it just open, or do we have age groups and things in that race? I don't remember.
I think it's open.
I'm going to go with Neil on that one.
It doesn't matter. But, I mean, let's pretend you're Neil and you're, like, a guy who can end up on the podium. You know, that I will, like, the AR makes a lot of sense because, I mean, I think Neil and I have talked a bunch, and I think we're both going to run 3.4 AR because we're going to run probably a 32-millimeter tire or so, maybe 33. You know, given the amount of pavement that is in that event, the first year I ran it, I ran a 28-millimeter tire, and I did fairly well in terms of I had one sort of kind of pinch flat.
You have, like, a mountain bike background as well, right?
I do have a mountain bike background, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to want a little more volume than I had in my tire than I did the first year I did it. I'm definitely running a minimum of a 32-millimeter tire, which I'm excited about. I think it'll be a lot more fun out there on that. And then the AR does give you a little bit of an aero advantage. Now, if you're going to go larger than that, like if you're, you know, going to run like a 35 to 45-millimeter tire, then, you know, running an aero rim starts to not necessarily make a whole lot of sense, because now you're running extra weight and you're not getting any aero advantage out of the rim shape itself, and generally a deeper cross-section wheel is going to be stiffer. So
like, speaking on that, like, let's say, you know, the random rider, you know, they're just using their normal wheels on their bike that they came with, nothing too special, just, you know, standard wheel, and they have like a 30 tire on it, 32, whatever. What are they going to feel when they hop on this new set of wheels? Like, what's going to be noticeable when you jump on those?
Well, I mean, I guess if we're talking more about, like, say, just a, you know, kind of like a box section alloy wheel or something.
That, yeah, just like a standard wheel.
Yeah. I mean, we build, especially considering, like, our G-series wheel, like the G23 and, like, the 3.4AR, those are kind of the two wheels I'd put at the top of the consideration if you're looking at Envy for a wheel for BWR. You know, both those rims are super efficient and lightweight designs, and so going from your typical, like, box section or just, you know, kind of OEM alloy wheel, you're going to notice an immediate response from the wheel. Like, it's going to accelerate really differently than the alloy wheel because it's such a light rim, so the responsiveness of the wheel set's going to go up. The tracking of the wheel is going to be improved as well because the carbon rim is going to be it's going to deflect less, and that's also important especially when you're riding in the rough stuff. And then on the G-series wheel specifically, so that's our gravel wheel. We launched that last year right before DK, is the G23. And that wheel's designed all about comfort and compliance, you know, and it's designed for high volume. So if you're, you know, the 35-millimeter to 45-millimeter tire guy, like the G23 is kind of the magic carpet ride of wheels out there. It's incredibly light. It's incredibly compliant. And you know, there's definitely aluminum rims out there that can have a compliant ride feel, but doing a compliant aluminum rim and also having it be light is, you're not going to touch the weight of a carbon rim in that situation. So,
compliant aluminum light rim is not going to last.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Neil, switching it over to you now, you know, former pro racer, you've ridden plenty of wheels, stuff I'm sure you loved and stuff I'm sure you hated. You got to be sponsored, correct? But then you're at the magazine, and so you tested a ton of stuff over there. What are your thoughts on, like, you know, these two separate type of wheels for the gravel, for, you know, yourself, for the consumer? Like, what's your feedback on it? I mean, obviously, you work for Envy, so everyone out there, you know, you're going to say something good. But, like, what's your personal, like, some good little nuggets that you felt off these wheels?
Yeah, I would say the first time I spent any real time on the new 3.4 AR was when we rode down We rode for the Sea Otter Week. We rode from Marin down to Monterey, almost 150 miles. We had a bunch of our pro athletes with us, so it was great. I didn't even have to take a turn on the front; just followed wheels all day. But we were on a lot of like, yeah, exactly. It's like no one waved me through, so I just sat on the couch back there. But we were on a lot of just twisty country roads with pavement that wasn't the greatest. So it's like the difference in how quickly things have evolved from like my first year doing BWR, you know, almost eight years ago, where I was probably still running 28C tires with tubes and probably had like 90 PSI in them. And that was like, you know, knowing that I was going to be hitting a lot of dirt and stuff. So on this coast ride down, I had about 55, maybe 60 PSI in the tires, and it was almost all pavement that we rode.
And like, what's your weight about?
About your knee toe? Yeah, 155-ish. Hey, it was a hard winter. Yeah. Come on, guys.
Give or take 20 pounds.
But just realizing, like, with a really efficient tire wheel setup now, like the low pressure that you can run, and you're not compromising rolling resistance or speed. It's like smooth as fast. So that was really a pleasant ride on the 3.4 AR. But it was funny because jumping on that wheel 2 days before that, I was out in Kansas for the Dirty Kansas training camp, and I was on the G23s and taking people through the design elements of the G23 and the, you know, for something specifically for Dirty Kanza. Like, they're very much two different wheels. We will see a lot of people running, I think we'll see a lot of people running the 3.4 AR as a gravel wheel set. A lot because really, like, they look cool. Like, people love
it's a big plus.
A deeper wheel, but for something when you get into the really chunky gravel and, like Jake said, that higher volume tire, that's where the G23 really shines, where you're less concerned with aerodynamics because you're in that, well, a lot of people like that 12 to 15 mile an hour speed anyway, and really just like not getting beat up on the bike is a huge advantage. But like I'll run the 3.4 AR at BWR this year because, you know, with like some 32C tires, because I think that's going to be a really fast wheel. And one thing that we didn't talk about is compared to the 4.5 AR, the 3.4 AR has some pinch flat resistance built into it. So, and these are both, you know, tubeless, they're tubeless only wheels. And I think people get confused when they hear pinch flat. They automatically assume you're talking about an inner tube. But when you go out and you're ripping around Lake Hodges, and although I hear it recently got graded, but you hit, you know, a half buried rock, and that rock goes all the way to the rim sidewall, and you can easily pinch a tubeless tire. And so the 3.4 AR has it's called the wide hookless bead. So it's a little wider profile, similar to the G23, and that does wonders for, you know, helping counter a torn sidewall when that inevitable rock strike happens.
All right, so switching back over to Jake now. I feel like it's pretty safe to say you're kind of like the main man in charge of marketing over at Envy.
Yeah.
The buck stops with you, you know, when it comes to marketing dollars.
Yes.
So I'm always curious about this. Like, all right, you guys have, you know, your pro teams you support, like Dimension Data. You know, you have your kind of, I guess, ambassador roles, you know, and you guys support, you know, Strickland, those guys, what they're doing, super cool. And then also you're supporting events. So from a brand perspective, like partnering with BWR, you guys are like the official wheel. You obviously see, you know, a plus with like going to like an event like BWR, like, where do you see, like, you go, hey, okay, this is going to be a good idea for the company, for Envy, to come to this event? Because you guys, like I said, have, you know, across the board with what you, you know, support and marketing-wise. So, like, what's your thoughts on that, like, you know, putting, you know, your support behind events like BWR?
I mean, ultimately, it's the events that we want to be doing ourselves.
That's a good point.
It's the events
that... Makes sense, Neil's on board now.
I mean, we're gluttons for punishment. We like it. We like a good hard supper fest, you know, like just riding centuries and, you know.
Yeah. Like as like if paying like an entry fee wasn't enough. Just like, yeah, just put more into it.
if there's a healthy amount of suffering, and we really like to watch people suffer. And no, just kidding. No, what I think really for us, it's, I mean, we're closely tracking the trends in the industry. And I mean, the reality is we make the product we want to ride, and this is how we've been riding bikes. And then to have an event like this where they've done such a great job of, you know, building this event and the community around and the culture and the experience, like, it's really where our customers are at. And so we're really looking at events, and honestly, the Envy customer is looking at these same events. Like, he's looking at the events that are going to be a challenge himself because he's a dedicated and serious cyclist. He or she's a dedicated or serious cyclist, and they're like us, looking at this event and saying, okay, I know this event has this much pavement, or the surfaces are going to be like this, or what kind of bike am I going to ride? And, you know, there's a lot of events out there like that that really can be made more enjoyable, or you can have more, you can finish more efficiently and in more comfort depending on the equipment you choose. And so there's a lot of things. We love the community. We love being able to be there and talk and interface with the people that are buying and riding our product because they love riding the way that we do. And then we also love it from a development standpoint. You know, like, Envy is a product driven company. We are riders, and that's something that's part of the Envy DNA. Like, most everybody at Envy rides a bike, and literally in the front office, everybody rides a bike. It's kind of a requirement. If you're going to work at Envy, you need to understand bikes and ride them. And so, you know, we feel strongly that the minute we stop riding, the minute we stop participating in the events that our consumers participate in, we lose touch with, you know, what is required from the product standpoint. So the product will suffer if we're not doing the events that that people want to do. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, for us, we look at the events and we choose the ones that are going to push the product and allow us to give high fives to all of our customers and future ones as well.
How do you feel like on these events, you know, obviously you guys are, you know, at BWR, you guys are at Kanza. Do you feel like, I mean, you know, I'm not totally accurate on this, but like, did you guys ever support, like, years ago, like, the local road racing events, or like state, like, you know, domestic racing? Did you guys do that stuff as well?
Yeah, we definitely had I feel like we made a pretty strong push in domestic road racing. I mean, we were with some smaller regional, like, successful living and some smaller pro continental teams in the U.S. back in the day, and we were traveling more to you know, the road races in the U.S. and, you know, Tour of California, Tour of Utah when it was a smaller event. We'd go out to Redlands. You know, I remember spending a week, you know, at Cascade Classic, you know, and yeah, I mean, we were doing the road races for sure. And like, I was not a pro road racer, but I was a Cat 2, and I was traveling to the events and racing and, you know, having a good time. Yeah, it was just that was also the scene where, I mean, and then, like, we were just at Sea Otter, and that's another place where they used to be really a very much a road racing type venue, and we were there and interfacing with the consumer, and it was the same story. Like, that was where all the action was happening, and that's what our consumers were doing, and that's where we were delivering value with the product we were making, and so we were there as well. And that's just changed.
Yeah, so do you feel like nowadays, like, as a company, do you guys get more out of having your support at an event like BWR because you do have the racers that you guys can have there, but then also you have the average Joe weekend warrior that's just going there? Like, you have, like, a mix of everyone, other than, like, if you did go to, like, let's say a domestic race a few years ago, like, it's very, you know, singular. Like, okay, we have our one team here, and that's kind of it. But, like, here you can actually talk to the consumer and, like, you know, mingle with 2,000 people or something that may or may not be on Envy's, but, you know, you can, like, educate them.
Totally. I mean, the reality is that at an event like BWR, everybody there that's on the product voted with their dollar, and they made a decision based on performance or based on, you know, the value that they think the product's going to add to their ride experience. And no hard feelings of road racing, but road racers are kind of it's not always that case.
Okay, I mean, Neil and I are just sitting right here. Yeah. You say it right in front of us.
Yeah. I mean, Masters Racing, you know, I mean, we're selling a high-end product, and it's, you know, it's it's not inexpensive, and so, you know, it's just different. Like,
times
have changed, and I mean, we're still definitely supporting road racing for sure, because it's definitely the incubator for the future. But again, like gravel and like all these mixed surface events are seeing all age groups, and but more than anything, I think people are just having more fun not road racing. They want to do bike events, they want to get out there and explore new things, and like Four Corner crits and, you know, Business Park crits and, you know, all that. Those are going to continue for a long time, but like, man, they come at a cost sometimes, you know. Like, I got tired of leaving my skin on the asphalt, and you know, I remember the last road race I did, and it ended in a big pileup, and I was like, you know, why am I doing this anymore? I still crashed my bike. I crashed at DK twice last year in the first 30 miles, which was
such a roadie,
not awesome, but it wasn't my fault, man.
Oh, it's never your fault. Yeah, that's when the director comes, like, problem. Go get to the front, you know?
It's never your fault in road racing. It's always somebody else's fault. That's totally. Nobody crashes themselves out.
I mean, I don't know. Neil, what do you think on that? I mean, you've done the racing thing. You've done all that stuff. Now you're a marketing guy now behind a company, and you're supporting events like this. Like, I mean, obviously things are changing, but obviously, like, with what you've seen in your, you know, cycling career lifespan, it's changed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, things have shifted so much. Like, you know, not knocking the road scene, like, it's still very relevant. Like, we sponsor Dimension Data, we sponsor Point S Auto, a professional women's road team, and those are important programs to us as well. But kind of just as Jake said, like, for us personally, like, where our passion is, it's like going out and doing over the top events, and turns out, like, that's, we're not alone in that. It's a lot of people wanting that, you know. So it's, you know, my history with BWR is really, really fun, and for us to be able to come in and, like, for years I've thought, like, this is BWR, you make it through that, and whatever equipment you have, like, that's a testimonial to how good it is to, like, stand at that finish and be like, I made it through. And just, and also knowing, like, how imperative that is to be set up correctly, and, like, the wrong setup will make or break your day out there. And that's a big deal. We're not talking about pro road racing where you have a bad day and you just, like, pull the pin and you're out. We're talking about people that focus on this all year long, and this is a huge objective. And so being partnered with the event, and kind of, you know, hopefully some different content pieces, and reaching people on, like, equipment setup, regardless if they're on Envy or not, but just educating them on, you know, how tire pressures and tire size, all these things go into bettering their experience. And, like, we want to see people get to the finish and, you know, enjoying their Lost Abbey beer and, like, stoked on their day. So just being a part of that scene is really, it's such a healthy environment right now, and that's, like, I'm so happy that we're going to be out there.
It's coming up quick. So yeah, I feel like we kind of wrapped everything. Anything, Jake, you know, you're the marketing man over here, anything that we did not add in that you want to get out there, besides how svelte and in shape you look?
I maybe feel like we undersold our road racing careers, Neil. Like,
I heard Cat 2 only, so.
Well, there's actually a road race that happens at Envy about every day at noon.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, for some reason, it's like, I've actually suffered, I think, more on, like, our lunch rides.
The power hour.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's always somebody that, you know, every day you ride, we ride, and I'm like, can we rest today? But there's always somebody that thinks that, you know.
Neil.
Yeah.
And you come back and you're like, wow, that seemed fast, and you look, and you're like, yeah, well, we averaged 25 miles an hour for an hour, you know, like.
And we're on single track.
Not quite. No. I mean, those are the days I ride my road bike, and then on the weekends, it's like, I'll put this away, and I'll get the fun bike out.
Yeah, we road race every day at noon, so if you're in Ogden for some reason, you know, come by, and we'll show you how much fun gravel could be, because you're...
Yeah, sign us up.
And so we're gonna have a booth in the expo at BWR Saturday. at 1 o'clock is the beer ride. We'll have to ask Marks what the acronym stands for. Something Envy is in there somewhere. I forget.
Oh, it's actually like the beer ride?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's an acronym. You know, Marks is a genius with this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to go. We're going to roll out of the Envy booth. Bunch of our athletes. It's going to be a big ride. We're all going to go out and scope out probably the last 15 miles of the route, hit Double Peak, hopefully relatively casual, check out the descent. So be a good time. 1 o'clock, Envy booth. We'll have some swag, and yeah, it'll be a good day, little warm-up ride before Sunday.
Perfect. All right, well then looks like we're gonna reconvene on Saturday, the day before, for the beer ride. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.